The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk for a few minutes about this decision in the UK last month from their Supreme Court. So you'd be aware of this, I'm sure, at this stage. They made a ruling that under the Equality Act in the UK, a reference to a woman would mean only biological women, regardless of whether somebody had a gender recognition cert or not. And it left a lot of people from the trans community expressing outrage in the UK. But what about here in Ireland? Well, Jenny Maguire is with me now in studio. Jenny is the student union president in Trinity College Dublin. And Jenny, it's usually with that hat on that you're here talking to us. But for the purpose of today, I might describe you as a trans woman and trans activist. And I want to talk about your own story in a moment in that regard. But first of all, just with this Supreme Court ruling from the UK, what was your reaction when you heard the news?
Yeah, I mean, it was incredibly shocking. It sent waves all around the world, not just in the UK, not just in Europe, everywhere. It is a new milestone, I would say, against the trans community. But it has not come out of nowhere. I mean, we've seen since, 2015, the UK ranked number one in Europe for LGBT rights, and now they are 22nd. There's been a decline in standards, not just for trans people, but for lesbian, gays, bisexuals across the board, a general feeling of unsafety. And this culminates ultimately in laws and in bills being passed that negatively impact the community.
So the Supreme Court, I mean, the rationale for their decision, as I understand it, and I have to kind of couch it very much in that, as I understand
it, we are.
You know, it was about the fact, as they put it, that to recognise trans women as women for the purpose of the act would be incoherent, because they said there's already a kind of a gender reassignment reference in the act, and that one of those becomes superfluous. That, you know what I mean? It's so once trans women are protected under that category, that women must ergo mean something else, and the something else they say must mean biological sex at birth.
Yeah.
So that was the rationale, but the implication, and they were kind of keen to stress this, and you know, trans rights are still protected, they say, but how do you view that kind of that argument that trans rights are still protected under this act?
Well,
don't worry about it.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But the license that it has given so many organizations, and both from how complicated it is and how unclear it is still a month on, still causing confusion. I mean, there are increased harassments happening in bathrooms. The British Transport Police issued a statement to said trans women would be stripped by male officers if they were to be arrested. And the general confusion and license, I think I've experienced it, even not in the UK, the general sense of unease and uncertainty in the community, and then that being pushed onto the community by those with negativity in their hearts.
So can you understand the rationale of the court to a degree?
Well, like I understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
I think fundamentally, the ruling of the court doesn't benefit anyone, but it does put a community that is already incredibly in strain, in further strain.
So I wonder then, is the issue the law rather than the court's interpretation of it?
I think the law itself isn't what is causing the harm around this, or the court's interpretation.
It's attitudes.
It's the attitude and culture that is surrounding it. I mean, like, if people start to think that trans people can't be in bathrooms, or they can't be in specific spaces, which is not what the law says, then that creates hostility, and it forces trans people from maybe not going out as much. I mean, the research shows that when bathroom bills are introduced, trans people are less likely to engage in public life. And when that happens, then it even gets worse.
So do you think that there was a kind of a vocal cohort of people who were always anti-trans, pro-women, they would describe themselves as, you know, whatever label you want to use, but you know who I'm talking about. Do you suspect that, or rather, is the lesson we've learned over the last few weeks that there was another cohort of people who maybe harboured those views but were just not expressing them? And now they kind of feel, right, I can do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, like, it's never the loudest people that I'd be nervous about. It's the people who are afraid to say anything. Because it's some of it is so over the top and ridiculous that like when we're talking, the rationale being protecting women or looking after women, like in a place like Ireland, the most unsafe place for a woman to be is her home. I mean, that's where we need to be looking. These issues, whether we're discussing about protecting women from refugees, protecting women from trans people, you know, it's a distraction from the real thing that women need, which is greater supports financially, with greater career supports. We need greater resources put into domestic violence prevention and education. And that is where we need to be looking for people saying they're there to defend women's rights. I'm someone who campaigns, who just consider myself a feminist and campaigns alongside so many women on so many issues. And that is where we need to be, because no woman is benefiting from this. In fact, it puts the it just polices all of our gender and how we present ourselves.
And when you say you campaign alongside women, do you, and apologies kind of for this question, but I'm just going to ask it because I know it's on the minds of some people who'll be listening. Do you consider yourself a woman in the same way they are, or do you think of yourself as a trans woman? Do you think of it as separate categories?
Well, like, I think myself as a trans woman, in that I also think of myself as a working class woman. I also think of myself as a brunette woman. I think about all these things, just as I have friends who are black women, friends who are disabled women. And like, these are all part of our womanness, I would view myself as, fundamentally. I mean, I know I experience far more misogyny than I do transphobia and like that, but now the tides are turning a little bit away from that.
Mm. So you mentioned there, say, bathroom bills, and when they're enacted, the experience of the evidence would be that it forces trans people to stay at home. And I know you talked about this, I was reading the piece in the Irish Times, like that was your direct experience in secondary school,
when
wasn't it?
When I was in secondary school, we had to get our journal signed anytime we wanted to go to the bathroom. They're very strict. And I used to, like, mine was blank 6 years in a row because I went to an all-boys secondary school and I would just hold it in and suffer instead of having to go to the bathroom. I would dehydrate myself. I would sometimes leave school early if I absolutely couldn't, because it's unsafer, a feminine presenting person, full stop, who like reads as, no matter what you think, who like reads to the general public as female. Like, it is unsafe for them to go into, for me to go into a men's bathroom. And so the question of like, I've said it a few times that if I can't go into bathrooms, where am I meant to go? And a few people have come back and said, oh, go into the men's or go into the disabled bathroom. It's like, the disabled bathroom has a specific purpose for disabled people to use. A men's bathroom, I am unsafe. There is no one unsafe in a women's bathroom when I use it.
And when you use the word female presenting there, anybody who's female presenting in the world, were you female presenting in school?
Yes. I called myself the black sheep with a curly blow dry. I was put together. It's what I had to hold on to when everything else seemed scary. And so that's what I was like in school.
Can you remember when you first identified as trans?
I mean, the first person I came out to, I was 13. Like, and so this isn't something that I live with. It's something I've grown up in. Mm. I've gone through two puberties thinking about. And so it's something that has shaped my life and is so fundamental that, I mean, now I'm at a point that, like, unless I'm asked about it or have to write about it, it's not something I think about.
And did you have hang-ups about it, or was it something that you...
Well, like, I think in any decision that you're making in your life, whether it's your sexuality or any big, going to college, anything, you're going to have doubts and you're going back and forth, because that is how humans work. If you were going in blind and not questioning yourself, what are you doing? And so I didn't have doubts, but I questioned and I made sure it was for me. And like, I came out to my mom then at 16, and then I was seen 4 years later in our health service for it. And so like, it's a lot of time thinking. And so absolutely.
And what was the reaction of people when you told them? Was it, I mean, you know, was there an element of, we've kind of realised that ahead of you?
I was given full glam and then also using he, him pronouns, which was confusing for everyone involved. But I think the reaction was overall positive. And like, since that, and since transitioning and access to transitioning, it's allowed me to worry about everything else and just like blossom into a confident person that like has other interests and other thoughts. And without that, I would still just be the sad teenager, sad young person, and then sad older person. I didn't have access to that.
And when somebody's going through it, are there, what supports are provided to the family or to, say, parents? Because I'm kind of, you know, it Absolutely.
Yeah,
it just must be because you've got this imagined future for your children, yeah. I guess. And suddenly, and ultimately, parents just want their children to be happy. Absolutely. They'll all say that. But still, they'll picture kind of what their future might look like. And that picture changes all of a sudden.
I mean, like, I'm a twin. I have a twin brother. And then all of a sudden, my mom went from having two boys who are about the same size to then having a boy and a girl. And she rang the LGBT helpline, which is available to any parent, just to ask, what do I do? To express her concerns, to give a safe space for her to just with someone that will there to listen to her and support her as a parent. And from that, she gave me resources and things I didn't even know about. And then she was able to feel a bit more in control. And it took a bit of time after I came out for her to come to grips with it, which is hard as a teenager to have to deal with. But that is just what happens. And it's about, as you said, trying to make sure that your child has the best life.
Yeah.
And standing here today, I'm proving that I think I'm on the right track.
Yeah. So it's probably only now at a few years kind of down the track that you appreciate maybe what your mum kind of had to deal with on our own level.
We all grow and mature and think about mistakes parents make and etc. Like, it's all the same. And the same way, if your child was gay, their future would have to be reimagined. And in that, like, oh, they're not going to bring a boy home or not going to bring a girl home. And so it's just it's a similar vibe to that.
And so have you seen then, and I you've kind of touched on this already, so I suggest the answer is yes. Have you seen an impact from the UK Supreme Court decision here in Ireland?
Absolutely. I was surrounded when the ruling came out. I was at a conference and with loads of young people, and the confusion and fear and upset in the room instantly reverberated everywhere. I mean, whether obviously we have it's going to affect trans people in the north of Ireland, we are seeing how that will play out over the next coming months is yet to be seen. But the confusion is making people afraid here, and we had rhetoric from some politicians around it looking for similar things to be put in here and then retracted. And so it's just more confusion for a community that's under attack from all sides.
Do you think we're still in this, when you imagine what we talked about, imagined futures, I mean, what's your imagined future, say, for society? Do you think we'll look back at this whole era as one of kind of muddling through, and there was, you know, periods of two steps back, three steps forward, or what do you think?
I think so. When I look at a lot of the coverage around trans people, it's the same coverage that we saw in the 80s and 70s around gay people. It's fear-mongering, it's distracting, it is dehumanizing. And then I think we're going to look now, and people will have a lot to reflect upon over the coming years of how we treat trans people today and why we're treating them like that. Why is that where the attention is going? When if the issue is women's rights, there's so many areas to look at where women are actually affected. And so, yeah, I think there'll be a look back in a few years' time.
And in terms of those two steps back, how often do people, say, refuse to use your preferred pronouns?
Yeah, for me, never.
Really?
Like, it's a lot of online stuff as well, which I think is a major...
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Do you have to kind of continue to remind yourself that's not the real world?
It's not real. But it's like, I remind myself that all the time, but my worry is when politicians or those behind a gavel don't realise that it's... We live in such a different world. I've experienced face-to-face transphobia. Like, I can count how many times on one hand.
Really?
Yes. Like, and so...
And do you think why... Is that there's not as many transphobes out there, or that maybe they're kind of... They don't have the bravery to do it?
Maybe a bit of both. But I think, like, if you're sat across... If you know a trans person and you're sat across from them, like... It's not the boogeyman that's been painted to you.
Yeah.
It's someone who just seems confident and more happier in themselves. And so... I think when we humanize trans people, it's so much harder to not look them in the eyes and just be like, okay, I see your humanity and what it is.
So it's important then to tell your story, is it? Because there was a period of time, and this is letting people know maybe a little bit of kind of how the sausage is made, where if we were talking about an issue kind of trans-related or tangential to it on the show, there was an attitude from some spokespeople that, you know, I don't want to come on and talk about that because no other group of people has to justify their existence. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? I'll come on and talk about the weather. I'll come on and talk about politics. I'll come on and talk about sport.
Yeah.
But I'm not coming on to talk about the fact that I'm trans. And I just wonder, and I can absolutely, I can understand that rationale totally, but at the same time, it's like, you might not be interested in the debate, but the debate is interested in you and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And if you're not part of it, as you said, the human side just gets lost.
I'm not interested in going anywhere and having to debate my existence. I'll engage with people and I want to meet people in good faith and have conversations with them, because it's when we see our humanity, we saw it now 10 years ago with marriage equality, we saw the huge push was that was having gay people in the media talking about their experiences, and that just made it so much more real. And so that's something that I tried to do and so many other trans people tried to do. But obviously we're also just like everyone else in that, like, we also have other bits to be getting on with.
Jenny, listen, pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us. And best of luck with the last few months of your tenure as president.
Thank you so much.
Coming to an end soon. Jenny McGuire, Trinity College, Dublin student president. Jenny, thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.